practicing healthcare can be stressful. And when GPs, pharmacies, and hospitals all have to work together, mistakes can and do happen. But when it comes to receiving the right medication, up to 50% of errors are actually preventable. Dr. Sam Lapkin from the UTS Faculty of Health has devoted his PhD to looking at these medication mistakes. He joined producer Sam King to talk us through what he's found.
The most surprising thing was the fact that, you know, the magnitude of the problem, you know, the number of errors, and the fact that they are potentially preventable. So we know that, you know, up to 50% of the errors that we know about can be prevented by, you know, by some already existing interventions.
50%?
Yes.
That's insane.
Yes.
Can you give us some examples of the main errors that happen?
Omission errors, patients not getting their medications on time, that's a big one. You know, the most severe ones are a patient receiving the wrong type of medication. So the wrong in terms of, you know, the dose or the actually totally wrong medication.
Mm. Is that more common than not getting them at all?
Not getting them at all is the most common errors. So not getting them within the expected time frames or actually not getting them at all.
Is this an Australia problem or a New South Wales problem?
It's worldwide. Mm. So the data that we have in New South Wales is similar to what's reported elsewhere in the literature, like, you know, in North America or in Europe. So those statistics are not only confined to Australia. This is a worldwide problem.
They're saying 50% as well?
50%, yes.
Wow.
So 50%, that's a United Nations WHO statistics, mm-hmm. that up to 50% of medications are not used, you know, appropriately.
What kind of impact could a serious error have on a patient?
A patient can potentially die. You know, people can actually die if they get the wrong type of medication.
Yeah.
So that's the worst case scenario. But some of them, you know, are preventable. Issues that can be reversed by other medications. So, you know, that can lead to an extended stay in hospital, which is actually a significant cost on the health system. As you probably know, health is the top of agenda here in Australia. And, you know, the costs and the amounts that we are investing in medicine and health are not sustainable going forward.
Mm. So as I understand it, you noticed that reviews of strategies looking to improve this situation had a sort of tendency to contradict each other. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, there is. I think it's because we've got weak evidence. That's one thing that actually came up. You know, the evidence is weak in the instance that, you know, we depend on self-reported incidences. And we know recent work that was actually done in Australia indicated that less than 2% of medication errors are reported. So one of the recommendations, one of the findings of the work that we did is in fact that we need to improve the way we report and capture these medication instances.
How would you suggest doing that?
So ensuring that it's a no-blame culture, ensuring that we improve on how we even report near incidences, so or near misses, because we know that up to 48% of medication errors are actually prevented at the moment of administration by nurses. So nurses are best placed to play a significant role in this area.
Just on that near misses, is there a culture of nurses almost getting it wrong and then kind of covering it up?
Yes, it's not really around nurses, because, you know, medication process itself is a multidisciplinary, it's a complex process that involves, you know, prescribing, dispensing, and the last part is when nurses actually give the medication. So errors can occur in any phase or in any stage within that process. So the main point being that at the point of giving the patient the medication, that is where nurses can actually play a significant role in avoiding and preventing some of those errors.
Did you hit any major setbacks when conducting your synthesis?
We did. The first one was that we couldn't find, you know, any. We identified very few Australian studies that have been done in this area. So it's an opportunity actually for Australia, for us to really focus and do some work. There is some work already that's being done, some innovative work, mainly around, you know, observing nurses and clinicians in this area. And we're actually moving towards, you know, observation studies as the gold standards, as opposed to people, you know, self-reporting these medications, because we know that there's a significant under-reporting.
Sure. How would an observation system work?
So some work that has been done overseas is you actually observe. You've got a person who stands at a distance, a trained clinician, who observes what is actually the interactions that are okay within this process.
Okay.
So we also know that, you know, interruptions and distractions during this process have been identified as one of the major causes. As you know, the clinical environment is very busy. There are, you know, things that are always happening. You've got to give medications. You've got to attend to other care needs. And you've got to communicate and deal with other members of the healthcare team. Mm. So the very nature of of the clinical environment is very, have got interruptions.
You talked a little bit before about the collaborative nature of your research. Could you talk a bit about that?
Yes, actually this work is an extension of the work that I did for my PhD, okay. And I'm very passionate about this area.
I can tell.
About, you know, patient safety, about medication safety. Mm. So this publication or this article that we're talking about that was recently published in the Journal of Medicine Management is a collaboration of three universities. Myself at University of Technology, there's Professor Levitt Jones at the University of Newcastle. I've got Professor Lynn Chenoweth from UNSW and Professor Marie Johnson from ACU. So it's three institutions that are coming together to try and, you know, and solve this significant healthcare issue.
Why are you so passionate about it? Is there a personal story here?
Well, I started my PhD, and as a clinician, I discovered that most of these errors are actually preventable.
Sure.
You know, the focus has been on the technical issues, on the technical, you know, skills like calculations and pharmacology knowledge. But what my PhD discovered was that, you know, some of these key non-technical skills are actually crucial. This involves, you know, good communication, open disclosure when an error occurs, and working as a team. So I think we need to turn our focus a little bit from the emphasis on the technical skills to try and, you know, understand some of the non-technical skills that are involved in medication process.
Mm. I'm going out on a bit of a limb here, but are there certain conditions or areas that have a higher rate of errors than others?
Yes, there is. I mean, to begin with, you know, last year, data that we have from last year is that 200 million prescriptions were dispensed in Australia alone, you know.
Wow,
so that's about 10 prescriptions per person in Australia.
You're kidding.
So, yeah, so medication administration or taking medications is the most common, you know, medical intervention.
Mm.
So errors are bound to happen. So we are saying, yeah, let's try and minimize those errors that we can sort of, you know, avoid. So we're looking at 10 prescriptions per person. That's a significant number.
Sure.
So polypharmacy is actually one of the significant issues as well, where one person gets a number of medications. Mm. So the higher the number of medications someone takes, the higher the risk of medication errors.
And you've talked about observation at a prescription level. What about at pharmacies? Is there anything that can be improved there?
Yes, they are. What's being done, and it's also being done here, especially here in New South Wales, the use of technology. So some technological interventions have been done. But what you're finding out with from countries that have already done this, like in North America, is that we still have errors even after introducing, you know, technology.
Okay.
And some of these technological advancements are quite, you know, expensive. We're talking about billions of dollars of investment in infrastructure of trying to solve this problem. So yes, they are some issues that can, you know, that can be easily be eradicated or you know, managed by the use of technology. For example, poor handwriting on prescriptions. If we use computers, you know, to write those, we can easily eliminate some of those issues.
Yeah,
but the problem still remains at the point of administration, especially in an acute care setting.
Sure.
You know, you might have the correct drug along the process, but what happens at the moment of administration is actually a key step and a key area of my research interest. There is no any safeguard.
Mm.
An error that occurs at the moment the patient receives the medications are likely to hurt the patient.
Mm. You're talking about handwriting. It's incredible. Some doctors just have like the most scrawly kind of handwriting, don't they?
Yeah. It is, and it has actually come down. It has actually been identified in a number of reports as a contributing factor to medication errors.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, and another risk factor is, you know, medications with similar names. There are some strategies that have been done targeting those areas.
Okay. Are you optimistic about the future, I guess?
I am optimistic. You know, there is way, and, you know, especially myself as a clinician and educator as well, there is a role for us to play and ensure that when we train these future healthcare professionals in universities, we can make them better health professionals by equipping them with the necessary skills that they can use to try and change the culture within, you know, within the health services and within the clinical area.
Dr. Sam Lapkin, researcher and lecturer at UTS, talking with producer Sam King.